Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Liz Shuler speaking out on the infrastructure bill. We're going to give you a state-by-state breakdown. LIUNA protesting a non-union contractor using public money in New York. And today on the show, the organization Good Jobs First and the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 95. Welcome to the Wednesday, November 10th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and the platform known as Stitcher. Arlene Martinez is going to be our first guest on the show. She is a newcomer, and she comes from the organization Good Jobs First. Great organization. They're based out of Washington, been around since the late 90s. In fact, their executive director, Greg LeRoy, has been on for many, many times. Arlene joined the organization with experience watchdogging local government as part of an investigation team out of Ventura County in California. She also worked at the Morning Call in Allentown, Pennsylvania, the LA Times, and also the Hispanic Link News Service. In 2019, she launched USA Today's network statewide California newsletter, which broke down policy and provided analysis to help residents better understand what was going on in their government. And this is kind of funny. She loves annual comprehensive financial reports, Excel, and working to make the world a more just and equitable place through government accountability. Well, she's in the perfect organization for that, because that's what Good Jobs First does. They primarily take a look at what governments dole out in tax incentives to lure corporations to their community and then follow the money. And I'll tell you, there have been many, many instances where that money just disappeared and the jobs never came. Good example of that, Foxconn out of Racine County, Washington. People are still wondering when Foxconn plans to pay them back all the money spent on preparing the community for a massive LCD screen plant that never materialized. Foxconn hasn't come near its capital investment and hiring promises. But guess what? The residents are out $300 million. $300 million. And the community got another blow recently when Foxconn announced it chose Ohio for an EV investment instead of picking Wisconsin. So they're just hopscotching around the country seeing what kind of tax money that they can siphon out of various communities. Well, we'll take a look at that. We'll also take a look at what's going on with electric vehicle plants. And they, too, are getting huge subsidies. Ford recently announced plans to invest $5.6 billion at a plant in Memphis, Tennessee. They will build an electric vehicle assembly and battery plant, and it's dubbed Blue Oval City by Ford in reference to its corporate logo, and it's projected to employ 5,800 people as Ford makes its first big foray into EV production. That's all good news. All good news. And we want to see the big three do that because they've got good union contracts. Unfortunately, they moved to right-to-work states. And then you've got the non-union companies like Nissan and Toyota that enjoy their fruits in those right-to-work states down south. And that's primarily why they go there, because they don't want to unionize. So we'll mix it all up with Arlene Martinez as our first guest. Keith Thurner will be joining us later in the show, and he comes to us from the Operating Engineers Local 95 out of Pittsburgh. He is the business manager and financial secretary. And Local 95 represents the stationary operating engineers. They perform the skilled maintenance in high-rise buildings, colleges, universities, hospitals, school districts, an oil refinery, Air Force bases, professional sports facilities, casinos. I mean, they do it all. Their members are tradesmen and women who perform all aspects of building maintenance. We're talking maintaining high-pressure steam boilers, chillers, pumps for domestic water and fire systems, electrical systems, both high and low voltage, medical gases, plumbing systems from fixture maintenance to interior piping, as well as custodial work, groundskeeping, school bus drivers. I mean, pretty extensive, which tells me you need a lot of training, and we'll touch on that. And Keith's got an interesting background. He grew up in a union family, and he didn't really know much about union life. He didn't pay attention until he joined Local 95. And this goes back to April of 1992. He was working at Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh. He was sworn in at the age of 29, and the vice president told him on that day, to come around, get involved, and you'll see how it works. So he did that. And he learned a lot. And then he got involved in the union and just started getting more and more opportunities with the union. And eventually to where he is today as business manager and financial secretary. And I like what he wrote in his bio. He says, I don't need any accolades. I'm a simple, common sense individual who has one goal in my position. Do what's right for this union, its members, and their families. Gotta love him for saying that. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. So Keith Thurner will be joining us later in the show as our second guest. Liz Shuler speaking out on the Infrastructure and Jobs Act, which passed in Congress on Friday night. Still awaiting Biden's signature. I understand that's going to come next week. This is what Liz says. The passage of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act is a monumental political and legislative accomplishment. After decades of delay and decline, America's workers stand ready to rebuild our country. Well, there's still more to be done. The Build Back Better Act will knock down the barriers that have prevented so many workers, especially women and people of color, from finding high-quality, sustainable jobs. We are so close to making our economy fairer and safer for working people, and we can't stop now. With the bipartisan infrastructure bill set to become law, the House and Senate must finish the job by sending the Build Back Better Act to President Joe Biden's desk. So we'll see what happens. Apparently, that's going to take a couple more weeks, if it happens. I have to salute the AFL-CIO for what they did on this piece of legislation. This is a very, very comprehensive piece of legislation, and many are saying that it's probably the most comprehensive part of our infrastructure since the federal highway system happened back in the 1950s. Think about that. That was monumental in its day, and this comes right up to that. So what they did, I'm talking about the AFL-CIO, they did a state-by-state rundown of what each state will get. And California, being a big state as it is going to get a good chunk of it, $25.3 billion for roads, $4.2 billion for bridges, $9.5 billion for transportation, $100 million for high-speed internet. State of Ohio, $9.2 billion for roads, $483 million for bridges, $1.2 billion for transportation. EV chargers, $140 million, and $100 million for high-speed internet. It looks like every state's getting $100 million for high-speed internet, and that's good news, especially for the CWA, We had them on the show yesterday. New York, $175 million for EV chargers, $11.6 billion for roads. And in the southern states, the impoverished states, listen to this, Alabama. And this would have a significant impact down there. $5.2 billion for roads, $225 million for bridges, $405 million for transportation. Mississippi, very similar. West Virginia didn't get too much, $3 billion for roads. I know that's, compared to the other states, all right, it's not as much. And again, they're getting $100 million for high-speed internet. Every state is getting that. So it's all good news. We got a comment here from Terry O'Sullivan, general president of LIUNA, presenting sponsor of this show. He said the long-awaited vote by the House is the single greatest infrastructure investment in generations, and it's a victory for the hard-working men and women of LIUNA. LIUNA thanks President Joe Biden, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer for their leadership, their vision, and their resolve to win passage of this investment in our nation, and that's what it is. And Terry pointed out the victory could not have occurred without the grassroots support and extraordinary activism of LIUNA members who were working together, who took up this fight, barraging members of Congress with tens of thousands of emails and calls, as well as attending more than 100 town hall events, parades, rallies, and press events. From billboards and digital ad trucks, LIUNA's message was, pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill now. And Terry says, that was heard loud and clear. And he wraps up by saying, LIUNA members are builders, and that's exactly what we're ready to do. Amen, Terry O'Sullivan. Can't wait to get him back on the show. We have been talking about this. If you go back to our archive shows, if you go back to awfradio.com, go back 5 years, go back 6 years, go back 7 years, you'll hear the same conversation out of Terry. Get something done on the infrastructure. Speaking of LIUNA, the members in Long Island, New York are protesting Stony Brook University for using a non-union contractor from New Jersey to renovate the school's lecture hall. The picketers protested outside the university entrance with inflatable rats and open coffins. Yeah, I guess that would get their attention. The union is arguing that local contractors should be paid for the job since New York public funds are being used and that union workers should be used to ensure proper pay and medical benefits. Now, the university is maintaining that it properly followed its contract bidding process to find the lowest qualified bidder. Well, great job. Great job. Let's see how that one turns out. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, the organization, good jobs first.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. And you can find more at ulagency.org. Let's go to line number one. And welcome to the show, Arlene Martinez. Arlene is with an organization which we have featured on the show many, many times over the years. They're called Good Jobs First. They started in Washington back in 1998. And the whole idea here, they follow the money, especially our tax money, when it comes to corporations that promise lots of jobs. Many times those jobs just don't show up. Arlene Martinez, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I was reading your bio. I guess you're from California, San Diego, California. And what caught my attention was that you launched, well, this was a couple years ago, the USA Today Network statewide newsletter, which broke down policy and provided analysis to help residents better understand what's going on. I thought that was pretty good. But what really got me was the fact that you love to go over annual financial reports. So I take it you're real nerdy in that respect then, huh? From
Yes, guilty there. I enjoy dense financial documents.
Now, how did you get into that? I know you did some investigative reporting, and often it's been said the devil's in the details. So I guess that kind of drove you into that direction. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I was covering the county seat at the time in Ventura County, and I was just trying to give some context to some budget stories I was working on, and I just kept turning one page to the next and seeing, you know, where our money was being spent. And, you know, those annual comprehensive financial reports have tons of information. I think a lot of people aren't aware how much is in there.
Did you find some surprising things when you were doing that?
Yeah, there was a lot of surprising things. I did a lot of stories, for example, on a lot of the spending that was happening at the public golf courses and how expensive an undertaking public golf courses are.
Now, did that lead to any changes at those golf courses as a result of your reporting?
Well, what the city ended up doing is writing off the debt, recognizing that they were never going to be able to make the kind of return that they'd hoped to make to pay off these loans. So they just basically wrote it off. So it wasn't the best expenditure of funds.
They goofed. They goofed big time. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, Arlene, you're here to talk about these EV subsidies, and that's electric vehicle subsidies. And I was referencing this at the beginning of the show. Ford, for example, is planning to invest $5.6 billion down in Memphis, Tennessee, and employ a lot of people. They're saying that now, but we've heard this story many, many times before. And then you got these respective communities that are doling out tax dollars to make sure that they locate in their area. So where are we now with all of this? Because this, with the infrastructure bill, they're talking about charging stations. The industry is firing up for all these EVs. What's the analysis that you've come up with so far?
Well, I think it's important to note what an important time this is, as we're making this so much investment into EV and what's going on. You mentioned Ford going to Tennessee and the $500 million grant that was announced, but we did some analysis, Kenny Thomas did, and found that deal is probably going to be worth over $1 billion in subsidies. And we know there's a real strong, it's a right-to-work state there in Tennessee, and we know that lawmakers are already kind of out there helping lead the charge to, you know, potentially fight these jobs being union jobs. And what we're seeing across the country is a lot of money being kind of put toward these EV, toward the EV industry in terms of subsidies. And we're concerned that there be good jobs that result from this, and that the money isn't given to any company until they deliver on jobs and make sure that labor standards are good, safety standards for workers. We know how dangerous auto jobs can be, environmental standards. So it needs to be a big package, you know, that companies aren't just taking the money and running.
Well, you said with regard to Ford, it was, what, $500 million and it may go to $1 billion? Explain that part to me. How does it double like that?
Well, so one of the problems with subsidies in general is that they're not particularly transparent. So some states are better than others, but we don't always know what a full package is. So in Tennessee, we know that the $500 million grant, because that's what was announced. But what we don't know is the value of the local subsidies, the regional subsidies, the energy offsets, which are very significant in EV manufacturing because of the high energy consumption. So those actually end up being very significant, the energy breaks. So Kenny Thomas, just having been from Tennessee and knowing the lay of the land, estimates that the total package, when you take all that into account, which there hasn't been put a dollar amount on, will top $1 billion if it's similar to other deals we've seen in the past.
And you point out that this is like upfront money. So even if all the jobs don't materialize, they get all that money then?
Well, the $500 million is a grant, so that for sure. And because we don't know, we haven't seen these agreements. I don't know if we ever will, but right now we haven't seen the agreements to know whether they put in any clawback agreements, for example, which are agreements that say if you don't deliver, we'll take the money back. We don't know if those are present. We don't know what kind of jobs are being required, whether they're prevailing wage or living wage. We don't know if the jobs can be permanent or temporary or part-time, which is what is happening with a lot of the subsidized jobs in other industries. So, you know, like you mentioned earlier, the devil's in the details. So we need to be able to look at these deals, and we just haven't yet.
All right, Arlene, here's where I'm a little confused. We're dealing with taxpayer money. I mean, the grant is one thing, but when it comes to subsidies, you're taking public money. Now, when you're doing that, that should be open to the public as far as what they're giving away. And you said that you have not been able to see that. Are they hiding this from you right now or what?
We requested the information. We still haven't received it back. Of course, we follow the press very closely. We haven't seen any kind of package reported by any of the media yet. And this is a constant complaint of mine. Before I got to the organization Good Jobs First, and now as a Good Jobs First worker, I can't, to me, there's no excuse for not having those deals disclosed. Mm-hmm. Why can't we see what's being promised to the community? It's a lot of money that we're talking about. There's a lot of companies that aren't getting those subsidies that have to compete with the companies that are. So there's all kinds of reasons why we should be getting information about how much money companies are getting. In some places, we don't even know the company names. We don't know how much they got. And we certainly don't know what they promised in return. And we don't know after the fact whether they delivered, a lot of times because we don't know what they promised, and other times because the report outs are so incomplete, we can't put together a full picture.
To your point, Arlene, I was referencing at the top of the show the Foxconn deal in Wisconsin. And apparently, residents there are out like $300 million. Have you followed that situation? Is there anything new on that with Foxconn?
Well, you probably saw that Foxconn is also getting into the EV business. And so people in Wisconsin, Racine County there, were hoping, the way we're thinking, possibly Foxconn might use this space that they didn't use for these huge operations they had promised that have clearly fallen through, that they might use that space for some EV. And instead, Foxconn went to Lordstown in Ohio and is moving in that direction. So we've been following that story pretty closely, in particular because even though the state put some clawbacks in place, so basically Foxconn had to meet certain hiring targets and other types of investment before they got the subsidies, that mm-hmm. wasn't in place at the local and county level. So the county and the local community, they either used the threat of eminent domain or actual eminent domain to raise some homes to get people out of the community, and now it's just sitting there essentially vacant, and the residents are out. I saw an estimate that was done locally that was about $10,000 a resident that were out, just, and they don't have anything to show for it except for a big globe, if you've seen the photo. So, yes, it's a very unfortunate situation there for the local residents.
So they make a promise, they don't deliver, and then they pack up and leave and go to another state. That's essentially what's going. Unfortunately, it's the state of Ohio, and I'm familiar with that Lordstown situation. Crazy stuff. Arlene, you're great. Can you stay with us for another segment here on America's Workforce?
Yeah, thanks.
Arlene Martinez is her name. She's with the organization Good Jobs First. Go to their website, goodjobsfirst.org, goodjobsfirst.org. And by the way, they were just named a global 2021 top corporate watchdog, which is a testament to what they're doing for all the people in America. And later in the show, Keith Thurner will be joining us on behalf of the operating engineers out of Pittsburgh. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers. Standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And you can check us out on 6 platforms now. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and the platform Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always like those 5-star ratings. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Arlene Martinez on behalf of the organization Good Jobs First. GoodJobsFirst.org is their website. You can also check them out on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Twitter handle is Good Jobs First. We're talking about these subsidies And we're at the crossroads right now because of the infrastructure bill that passed in Congress. Still needs Biden's signature, but they're going to put a lot of money into charging stations. And the future is all about electrical vehicles. And we're talking about a big investment by Ford in Tennessee. And I just want to go back to that briefly. I want to talk about what's going on in Texas. But Ford is a union shop. I know they're going to a right-to-work state, but it's my assumption they're going to have to stick with the unions on that one. But we will definitely follow that. I hope they don't try to pull a fast one down there in the state of Tennessee, but we'll be watching them. You are also following Texas, and what's this, a company called Rivian that's looking for subsidies? Bring me up to speed on that. What's the story there, Arlene?
Yeah, so Rivian has, Amazon owns about 30% of Rivian, or has about a 30% investment. They ordered 100,000 cars of what's called these last mile cars from Rivian, these trucks. And so Rivian took Amazon's lead and has been doing sort of a public auction, looking to see who will give them the biggest subsidy package. And Tarrant County there in Texas emerged as a big front runner, was offering a lot of money, a 70% 30-year property tax abatement, for example. And those are, so basically it wouldn't pay its full share of property taxes until year 31, which is a long time. And that was on top of $400 million in subsidies and all types of other things. What happened there was a group of the Sierra Club, and some labor groups and others that came together that said, hold off before you give final approval to these subsidies, because we want to see some environmental standards, we want to see some labor standards. So they were able to delay the deal a little bit. A concern with Rivian, and Rivian's still untested, still a fairly new player, is that because of Amazon's significant investment, we know how fiercely anti-union Amazon has been. We just wonder what kind of influence that'll have on Rivian.
So Amazon is a partner. Are they kind of like a silent partner, or is this pretty much up front? What's the story?
They're not so much silent, because they have this 100,000 truck order, and they've invested, I guess it's about 20% in what's a startup, essentially. Again, that concern, knowing how fiercely anti-union Amazon has been, we just wonder what will happen with Rivian. And the thing about Rivian and Tesla, and a lot of these EV companies, is they tout themselves as, this is the new wave, this is what we need to do for climate change, and we're the future. And so are these companies just talking a good game, or are they actually thinking about the future as a package of environmental standards, of labor standards, of making sure workers can support their families like they have historically been able to do in the auto industry, which, you know, on average pays, 30% more than other jobs that are available to people with high school diplomas. That stat, by the way, I got from Gordon Lafer, who is a University of Oregon professor, who just came out with a new paper looking at some of the labor standards that need to change, particularly in the auto industry, and that includes making it easier to unionize.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Elon Musk has some problems in California. Isn't he trying to move to Texas, his operation there?
Yeah, he's moving some of his headquarters jobs to Texas. He claims he was just being taxed out of California, but the reality is he got hundreds of millions of dollars in subsidies there, and the amount of jobs that he's moving in terms of the headquarter jobs aren't really that many.
Uh-huh. Yeah, apparently his workers don't want to move there. I can't blame him, to be honest with you. But this whole thing, as far as good jobs first and what you do, do you get any pushback on this when you try to come up with all this information? Because as you pointed out, I mean, you go through the annual reports, you study these intently, and the whole idea is to release this to the media and show, hey, you know, this is where your money's going and you need to know about this. I'm just wondering, that, especially in some of these southern states here, is there some built-up frustration and animosity for what good Jobs First and organizations like it that are doing to bring this to the public?
Well, I can tell you just this week, Time Magazine published a piece looking at all the subsidies that GE has gotten. And the researchers behind that report used Good Jobs for subsidy tracker data, found that GE has gotten $2.2 billion in the last 20 years in subsidies. And GE really took issue with our number and pushed back on that. And the reporter asked them instead to provide their figure of subsidies, and GE declined to do that. So we do get pushback, but it's hard to push back when we have the original sources linked in there, we have the agreements, or we have the press reports that we link out to. So maybe places don't like us, but we really just collect what's existing and reality.
Right. You're doing the job of investigating what's going on here. And again, we're talking about taxpayers' money. That's the important thing. Well, I tell you, I for the life of me, and I know you got a great organization, and you've highlighted over the years so many of these incentives that companies get, and then they don't deliver. And yet states keep doling out the money. I don't know if they're not learning from this. I don't get that part. That's the thing that's so frustrating, but you just got to move on and make sure the people know what's going on out there. Goodjobsfirst.org is the website. Arlene, great job. Thanks for joining us today. And keep us posted on anything else that develops, because we are, like I said, we are in a state of flux right now, especially with this infrastructure bill. And again, we're talking public money, taxpayer money. And each state's going to get a chunk. I ran down some of that at the beginning of the show. And where there's money, you just never know what's going to happen. So you take care and stay in touch, okay?
Well, thanks so much.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Keith Thurner is with the Operating Engineers, Local 95 out of Pittsburgh. He's the business manager and financial secretary, and he'll be coming up next.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. And welcome Keith Thurner. Keith is the business manager, financial secretary for the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 95. Website is IUOELocal95.org. And they are stationary operating engineers performing the skilled maintenance in high-rise buildings, colleges, universities, hospitals, school districts, apartment complexes. Got an oil refinery in there. Air Force bases, professional sports facilities, casinos. Keith Thurner, did I miss anything there? It seems like you're doing it all.
Yeah, our folks do. Yeah, pretty good there. Yeah, there's probably a few in there that we missed. But, we try and capture as much as we can out there.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I was reading your bio earlier on the show, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about yourself. I see you you grew up in a union family, but growing up in a union family, you may not pay attention when you're a kid of what unions deliver on. So let's pick it up from there, because years later, you got involved in Local 95, and I guess that was, what, in 1992? Is that right?
Yes. So my father was a typo from the Typographical Union number 7 here in Pittsburgh, and 47 years. And those guys, they partied hard, they worked hard, but they had a real tight group at their work. And, you know, we'd always attend the picnics and the union picnics. And like you said, though, we never really talked about union and what the union did for us. And I never realized it. And until I had my own heating and cooling business, and a good friend of ours said, hey, the Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh needs a tin knocker. Ours has passed away. And I was having a falling out with my partner, and I'm like, the hell with this. I'm not going to do this anymore. So I was lucky enough to get into the local. And then I got involved. Again, our vice president at that time, when I got sworn in, it was just so happened we were sworn in at my dad's typo hall because we didn't have our own home at that time. So that was pretty cool. But the vice president told me, he said, you get involved, you know, and you'll be taken care of. Come down, make sure you go to meetings and, you know, the whole nine yards. So when I was lucky enough to come into the local and get involved, I realized what the unions did for our family growing up. And then I would start having conversations with my father. You know, I was at 29 at that time, and started having conversations with him regarding the unions and what they did for us and from our benefits and the vacations our parents took us on. I mean, just the things you take for granted growing up, but the union provided for our family. So one of the really neat things I'd really like to see unions be able to bring back is my dad's local had a women's auxiliary. The wives of the members had their own little group, and they were funded by the members, and they put on Christmas parties and, you know, breakfast with Santa. They did all that. So the wives were involved with the unions back then, unlike what it is today, you know. But, yeah, it definitely was well worth it once I got here. And I grew through the union, and then within 5 years I became business manager just because of my involvement, as well as the retirees, you know, the retirements that were going to happen within our local. And I was thinking, if not me, who, you know?
Yeah.
And it's nobody aspires to do this. I think if you do, you're in the wrong business. You don't belong there. You know, you're chosen to do this because of your actions. And I think that's indicative across all unions, you know. You know, coming up, I know definitely for me, my family, I instilled that into our son early on, and that's why he started taking our classes and he got into the local at 19. I wish the hell somebody told me that when I was
Well, that had to be a proud moment for you. That's awesome that happened.
Awesome.
And it seems like you hit the ground running when you were told get involved. You got involved, didn't you?
We did. Even so much so that my wife would be on me, you know, meetings Friday, you better get going. You know, she made sure I was at the union meetings as well. So
yeah,
it was pretty neat, you know.
So how's the local today? Your business manager, financial secretary, Local 95, how many members right now?
We have just over 2,000 members. We lost a few during the pandemic. with buyouts and early retirement packages, and then unfortunately a couple members have passed due to the virus. But all in all, though, we were truly blessed not to have an impact from the virus. Our members stayed working, like the healthcare workers, like the nurses. You know, we were the essential workers. We're the first responders in the buildings that we maintain. You know, we from all infrastructure within the building and making sure the air is safe, that and the water is safe to drink, the air is safe to breathe. Our folks never missed a beat. We continued to work while everybody else was at home. So we were really blessed not to lose membership, where some of our brothers and sisters and other locals, their membership, a vast majority of them were laid off. So that had to be pretty detrimental to the treasuries of their unions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk about the skills that are needed for your job as an operating engineer. And I'm looking at what you do. I'm just listen, though, and I said this at the top of the show, it's worth repeating. The engineers, operating engineers, operate and maintain high-pressure steam boilers, chillers, pumps for domestic water and fire systems, electrical systems, high-low voltage, medical gases, plumbing systems, fixture maintenance, interior piping, custodial work, groundskeeping, school bus drivers. I mean, there's a lot, and that requires training. Talk to me about Local 95's exceptional training program. I'm hearing a lot of good things. I'd like to hear it from you, Mr. Thurner. Go ahead.
Sure. This training program was put together by our former business manager, and we really take pride in what we're doing, trying to provide the tools to the members, both current and new, to better themselves, make themselves more valuable to their employers. But with the ever-changing technology, we have to make sure the membership keeps up on that. When you're in running a boiler system, it's not unlike your furnace or your boiler in your home, just on a much, much larger scale. And I don't know if you've seen any electrical fires or at transformer stations or boiler explosions. There are very, very strong emphasis is on safety in all of these, where if somebody's not operating a boiler correctly, it could take out a half a city block.
Wow.
And, you know, it's dangerous. And the average folks that walk into their buildings don't understand what it entails to maintain and operate the infrastructure of that facility, and that's what we do. We have a stationary operating engineer associate's degree at the local community college at Allegheny County Community College. So we're affiliated with them. We also have, through the international, our international just built a massive training center down in Texas, and both stationary and the H&P side, the guys that run the bulldozers. But we have so much that's the latest and greatest for our members to continue their training. In certain cities, certain towns, you're required to have a boiler license or a high-pressure vessel license to operate. And we make sure that our members are prepared for taking that test and not only passing the test, but then knowing how to operate these pressure vessels, if you will. But we're constantly putting on new classes, anything an employer would need. From digital controls or energy management systems or the fire systems, you know, and we train everything from the door closers and lock sets on your doors all the way up to indoor air quality, you know, proper water treatment for the systems to avoid Legionella, whether you're in a hospital environment or you're in a high-rise environment. You know, so it's whatever we can perform, we will make sure we put on. Forklift training, ladder training, all aspects of OSHA. You know, so when we say the members are trained, we mean they're trained. They've got to be. It's required within their collective bargaining agreements, but they also must be in the facilities that they work in.
How's the workload right now in the Pittsburgh area? Especially, you've got a very highly trained workforce. They're ready to rock and roll. Is the work happening?
The work's there for sure, but there's, like in every other industry, we have a shortage of mainly, I used to make the mistake of saying young people, but it's anybody coming into the industry. It's not just young people. Well, we need to have many folks come into the industry, both in the trades and what we do. And we're seeing that with contract negotiations, too. It's not the union being able to get better packages. It's the market, because there is such a shortage. But there's still a lack of understanding as to why individuals need to have training and continue their training. And that's a difficult hurdle for us to get over with a member, having him understand that he needs training. But
yeah,
for his longevity, he needs it, right? But
right,
as far
right.
as the markets go, we have a need for members, just as the employers have a need for employees. It is a shortage.
I see you have an affiliation with Allegheny Community College, which I'm not surprised. I know a lot of the trades are linked up to community colleges, and you can get an associate's degree.
Yes.
Has that's been pretty fruitful for you then over the years?
Surprisingly, we have not had very many individuals pursue their SOE at community college. It's there, but I don't know if it's an ignorance or complacency where a lot of the membership just won't seek it. We've had a few individuals that have gone through it and have successfully achieved their associate's degree, but it's just not well attended, and that's one of our hurdles to try and jump over, is how do we get the individuals to understand the value of it.
Yeah, good one there. Yeah, especially now. You know what happened Friday in Washington? We got the infrastructure bill. Biden hasn't signed it yet, but states are going to get a whole lot of money, lot of money on infrastructure, and you know the operating engineers are right in the mix right there. So we got to really get the ball rolling on all this, and I would imagine you've got a glimpse of what may happen in your area as a result of what's happening in Washington, I take it?
Sure, and we kind of ride the tails of what the trades do, right? The trades build it and we maintain it. So anything that comes down, whether, of course, the bridges and that infrastructure, but when it comes down to the cleanup of brownfields or anything dealing with the green energy, we then, once it's done and it's put into place, we then can go in and maintain the facilities that are constructed by our building trades. So it's sort of a trickle-down benefit, if you will, that once the monies are spent, you know, it will create areas for building to happen, for construction to happen, for businesses to move in once the highway systems are updated. There's so much land out here on the outskirts of Pittsburgh for industrial parks, for office buildings. As far as we go on the stationary side, the infrastructure bills usually, or any highway bill, it will benefit our brothers and sisters in the trades. And once they're done, then we go in and then attempt to organize sites that are there in order to maintain them for the duration.
You keep them running. All right, Keith, we're going to leave it on that note. Great job. Appreciate you coming to the show, even though you're a Steelers fan. Okay, I had to get that out.
Yes. Well, again, they got a building year, too. The Brownies, I was surprised. It took them a lot of years, but they're doing well.
We're getting there. All right, Keith Thurner, business manager, financial secretary of the Operating Engineers, Local 95 out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. IUOE, local95.org, and they're also on Facebook. You take care, stay in touch, and let's talk down the road, okay, brother?
Thank you very much, Ed.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Union Vets Council on Veterans Day and the president of the Heat and Frost Insulators. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group.
Find out more information online at labortools.com.